A question comes to my mind as I consider these circumstances that are given to us here within this scripture passage that we'll study today. That while, yes, we know that God truly is always omnipresent, meaning that, yes, He really is ever and always in our presence, fully involved in every matter that takes place on the earth at every moment, we Christians also know that there are special moments in time when something more takes place. Something more. Special moments when we're able to experience God's presence in a much deeper and much more intimate way, and to receive blessings from Him that we would not have otherwise received. And that was the special opportunity for this blind man that's spoken about here in our scripture passage for today. And thankfully, this man didn't miss out on the opportunity to receive the blessing of a lifetime, the blessing of a lifetime from the Lord Jesus, but called out with great fervor for the Lord to please not pass him by. Please not pass him by. Listen as I read this passage given here in Luke chapter 18, and witness what takes place in this man's life. Verse 35. Then it happened, as he, the Lord Jesus, was coming near to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he, this is the blind man, he cried out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This passage begins with the words, "Then it happened." And then also, as the King James Version would have it, "It came to pass." And then the story goes ahead and continues on with the account of this blind man that's sitting by the road begging. These words, "Then it happened," in today's manner of understanding, would probably describe what we might call a coincidence. A coincidence. But as you might know, if you've listened to these studies over the years, I like to remind us that within the providence of God, there is no such thing as a coincidence. No such thing. Every occurrence, even the most seemingly random occasion, is a foreordained providential event put into place by God Himself. And all of those encounters with the Lord Jesus, they're working out a special scriptural truth, a truth such as that given in John chapter 6, verse 44, where Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him." And then also in John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Here, it was God's providential plan and purpose that Jesus would pass by this exact place at this exact moment in time, and further, that this blind man would be drawn to sit in this exact place by the road. But as seems also to be the usual way of God, though He perfectly positions men and women in the right place at the right time, He still leaves a special part for each of them, each of us, to play. And that part is to make willful choices. To make willful choices. Here was a man who was clearly in need of help. He was blind, and because of his blindness, he was unable to work and provide for himself and for his family. So he was reduced to begging. If he could only see, then his whole life could be different. And here also was Jesus, the divine healer, the one who's able to cure all diseases, no matter how bad those diseases might be. He was the man that was spoken about in Isaiah chapter 42, where it's prophesied about him that he is God's chosen one, the Messiah, who would open the eyes of the blind, bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, and from the prisons those who sit in darkness. Those are words from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7. And so then, here, everything was nearly in place for a healing to take place. But yet, one part was yet remaining for the blind man. The man must ask Jesus for his help. And he must ask with continual importunity, persistence, that'll not be put off by opposition from others that are around him. Folks, it's one thing to be an observer of someone who's suffering, to have sympathy and to pray for them, but it's another thing altogether for the one who's doing the suffering. This man lived every moment of his life in darkness and in poverty. And he had reason and purpose for crying out to Jesus with a very loud and very persistent voice, a voice that would not be silenced by the disciples. I can't emphasize enough the need for persistence. Over and over again in these scriptures, Jesus exhorts us to be persistent in our prayers, in never giving up in our asking of him. In another place in scripture, Jesus exhorted us to ask, to seek, and to knock, never giving up until we have our answer. This man did that. And his persistence was rewarded. Listen again to these words, beginning in verse 35. Then it happened, as he was coming near to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. Folks, we must not misunderstand these circumstances. It's not as if this blind man needed to get Jesus' attention. No, Jesus already knew everything that was taking place around him that day. The problem is not within the Lord Jesus. It's never within him. The problem is within us, always within us, in our need for persistent faith. And it lies within all of those intervening and interfering obstacles that are in between us and Jesus, between us and the healing that we need to receive. How often do you and I get discouraged by the voices of others who would silence our cries for help? Voices of well-meaning people. Voices that tell us to go here or to go there to find our help. To go to this doctor or that therapist, or to take these pills, or even, and listen, even perhaps that divorce lawyer. All well-meaning voices wanting to help, but keeping us from the only one who can truly help us. And also, and sadly so, how often do we ourselves get caught up being one of those discouraging voices for hurting people who are in need, giving them wrong direction? Thankfully, Jesus will work his way on through the clamor of the discouraging voices like ours. Remember that time and time again, we're told in these Gospels that Jesus knew the thoughts of all the people around him, every person. And Jesus knew the heart and the mind and the need of this poor blind man. And he perceived faith within the heart of this man. Faith that would lead this man to have a complete healing. And I want us to give special emphasis to this part of this encounter with Jesus. Yes, it was the right thing for Jesus to be where he was at that moment. And yes, it was right for that man to be persistent in his crying out to Jesus. But another step was still required. Note the question that Jesus had for this man. Verse 40. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Coming to Jesus is only one part of the plan. Before the full transaction can be completed, we need to do one more thing. We need to surrender up our will and ask him to heal us. Folks, going to church each Sunday is a very, very good thing, the right thing to do. But going there is only a part of the transaction. It's only a part of the transaction. Your part, my part, must also be done, and that is that we must ask, yea, even beg Jesus to reach into our hearts and to meet our needs for salvation, for healing, or for whatever that we need. And if we are unwilling to ask, then our salvation or that healing might never take place. Now, may I say this again? If we are unwilling to ask, then our salvation or our healing or whatever we need might never take place. Might never take place. And what an awful thing that would be to be so close, but yet to miss out on the greatest of all blessings of Christ. As with this blind man, the alternative to asking would be for him to remain in his blindness forever. Forever. And oh, dear friends, we need to understand that the same is true for us. To make the effort to go to our church each Sunday, where we clearly hear our Lord's voice that's being spoken to us by the preacher or through the words of the songs that are being sung. But then we still foolishly allow the opportunity to receive his blessed salvation pass us by. It's a decision that we'll regret for an eternity. We'll regret it for an eternity. Recall the plea by the rich man who was there in torment, suffering from the burning heat, and he was crying out to Father Abraham to send Lazarus to go and get him just a few drops of water. The torments of hell are real, and they are eternal, and we dare not allow the opportunity for salvation to pass us by. And again, as with this poor blind man who encountered the Lord Jesus, we need to clearly realize our dilemma, that we also are poor, wretched, naked, and blind. And we're in need of a healing Savior. And that Savior is Jesus, and Jesus alone. This man surrendered up his free will, and he cried out to Jesus, and he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." What a blessed relief it must have been for that poor man at that first moment when he was first able to see. Can't you imagine how he felt at that moment? What a delight must have just flooded his soul. But maybe not miss these other somewhat subtle words that are being spoken by Jesus. Those words, "Your faith has made you well." Verse 42. Jesus said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." We need to understand these words well, folks. We need to understand them well. Faith must be present. Faith must be present before healing can take place. Jesus often said those words, "Be it according to your faith." This man had faith, and he was healed. But let's pause here for a moment and ask, how does such believing faith come about in a person's heart, in your heart, in my heart? We're told how, in the words of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Listen to these words very carefully. Precious, simple words. Verse 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Aren't those words so very simple? But they are profound, profound. I love those words. These simple words and some of the other words that go with them tell the complete story of salvation for anyone who's willing to listen. Why is the complete story of salvation so important? Why is it so important? It's because, as we've seen at other times, whenever Jesus has healed people, the healing of their bodies might have taken place, and they were relieved by it. As with the healing of those 10 lepers that we read about in chapter 17. It seems that while all 10 of them received the healing of their bodies, only one out of the 10 lepers received a healing of their souls. May I pause here for a moment and read some of the accompanying verses given to us here in Romans chapter 10. And listen to these words carefully, because they give us the complete story of salvation. Listen to these words beginning in verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So then, and listen carefully, so faith cometh from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We don't know much about this man that Jesus healed, but it seems safe to assume that though he was blind and he was poor, he most likely had been attending synagogue and listening to the preaching. We can know that because of the way that he addressed Jesus as being Son of David, and he pleaded for Jesus to have mercy on him. For us who have received Christ as our Savior, as we sit under the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, God's Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit, helping us to know the things that we should know about him. He is the grand teacher of men's souls, bringing us into truth, bringing us into a condition where faith can be born in us. Oh, dear friends, our sitting in church and listening every Sunday is so very important, beyond measure, beyond measure. It's where faith is born within our souls. Those words again in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing those words that the preacher is saying. Hearing those words that are being sung in those songs. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man evidently heard, and he had faith. And because he had faith, he was healed. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And note also here that the man's response was the exact right response to have. Verse 43, and immediately he received his sight, and he followed him, glorifying God. Folks, it's never right for us to simply receive God's blessing and then go on about our merry way. How thoughtless we so often are. As we receive all these many countless blessings from our Lord, only then to simply go about our business as usual. Not taking the time to turn and say thank you to him. And especially not taking the time to turn to another person and to share with them how our blessing came to us from the loving hands of our Lord. Folks, we really must always be quick to give thanks and praise and glory to God, the one from whom all blessings flow. And our witness can be such a powerful instrument in his hands. If we're willing to be a strong witness to the grace and mercy of Christ, then others might also be drawn to him for their healing. And that's proven out here in these next words given here in verse 43. And all of the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is so very important, folks. The witness of Jesus' power in healing this man, and then the man's response in following after Jesus and glorifying God, immediately drew many others in the crowd to join with him and to praise and glorify God. And yes, some of the more skeptical onlookers might say that the response to praise God by the people was just contagious emotional response. And that might be true. That might be true. Praise and worship within a group is often contagious. And I count that as a good thing. I count that as a good thing, to rejoice with those who rejoice. But then, good is often not good enough. The very best thing that could take place would be for the Holy Spirit to get hold of the souls within that group and for him to bring forth a spontaneous praise and worship of God. That's the very best thing. That's the very best thing. And yes, during those circumstances, that will mean that the praise and the worship will be emotional. And some folks object to the word emotional. But listen, love, whether it be for God or for one another, is most often very emotional. And I count that as a good thing. I count that as a very good thing. So then, what shall we conclude from these words of this passage? May I suggest this? First, we must know with confidence that yes, God has a plan that he has put into place for all of mankind. But beyond that broader plan, our Lord also has a plan that is exclusively tailored, made to order for your life and for my life individually. God is that intimate and he is that loving. Here in this passage, we see that God brought this poor blind man to this specific place at this specific moment in time, just for the purpose of him having this blessed encounter with the Lord Jesus. And we're told in those precious words of Acts chapter 17 that I love to quote for us so much, this circumstance is and will always be true for you and me. God has placed you and me in a special place at a special time so that we can have our encounter with the Lord Jesus. Listen again to these words that I love to quote to us. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 26. And he, this is God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all of the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Folks, our part is to do exactly this, to reach out for him and to find him. And as with this poor blind man, to be persistent, crying out continually and not allowing anyone or anything to discourage us from our quest, seeking and knocking and asking and then receiving. Folks, dare we go into our church each Sunday, allowing Jesus to walk so near to us, but then allow him to pass right on by us without our receiving the precious blessings that he wants to give to us. I plead with us not to allow that to happen. And I plead with each of us even now as we consider these precious words that we've been studying here today, that we do not let this opportunity slip by any of us. May I close by reading a few words from the hymn, Pass Me Not. Listen to these words. They are precious. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face? Heal my wounded, broken spirit, and save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Pray with me, folks. Oh, dear Father, this is our cry. This is our prayer. While on others, you're calling. Do not pass us by. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.